Let's get going. I've turned on recording. I have the agenda link in the chat. If you'd like to add yourself to the attendees list or make any other adjustments, you are welcome to do so. Today is the 19th of May. And anyone new today that has not introduced themselves before and would like to? All right, well, glad you're all here. June 8th through the 10th, it's the Hyperledger Global Forum that is online this round and should be a good event. Related meetings, I will offer the DIDCOM working group this Monday. We talked a lot about keys by value by reference and seem to be possibly getting closer to a resolution of that particular issue, which is good. Other meetings that we want to report on.
Tomorrow is the identity implementers working group call, and Ivan Timchenko is going to present on DIDCOM RS and how Jolicom is leveraging that for their SSI solutions. So look forward to that.
Awesome.
No Indie Did Method call, no Indie Did Contributors calls this week, so nothing there.
All right.
Sam, is this an appropriate place to mention the Cardia users group meeting?
Yes, this would be an appropriate place for that.
That'll be at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. I will be presenting on the a demo of the reference implementation and discussing the architecture of our enterprise agent. So 10 a.m. Mountain Time tomorrow.
And where's the link for that?
Can you give a bit of context on what Cardia is? I saw it somewhere, but I'm not sure what the project entails.
So Cardia is a reference implementation of a health credential workflow. It's based on a demo that CETA did in Aruba for travel and COVID test credentials.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Couple of questions. Was it a demo or I thought that was a production release?
Demo was the wrong word. It was a proof of concept, small scale trial with real people.
Okay. Does this replace Bifold?
No, the Cardia is built on the Bifold technology.
Okay.
So we took the Bifold wallet and added some stuff to, you know, we used it for this particular project.
And Akapai.
And Akapai. Yeah.
Is the Bifold meeting still on tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
It would be today. Oh, right. Sorry.
It just happened.
James was planning on having that meeting today. I think it's still on.
It just finished just a couple minutes ago.
I missed it. I couldn't make it anyway, so I was forgetting that tomorrow is not today.
Awesome. Can you hunt down a link for that meeting and drop it here, whether the meeting link directly or another informational page?
Let me find a link for Cardia. I'll put that in here.
That'd be great. All right. Thanks for bringing that up. I probably should have thought of it. Upcoming releases and work updates. Any test harness updates?
It found a bug today, or a change at least. That's good. All the tests crapped out last night, so that's good. And that's in relation to preparing for release 07. The AFGO folks did some adjustments to enable the tests to run between Akapai and AFGO, and now Akapai really needs to update for AIP2, the AIP2 version, to remove the necessity for those compensations that AFGO has put in. And so that should get, that's the beginning of the process, progress on ACAPI and AFGO working together, so that we're looking forward to that. I don't see, is Andrew here? No, I don't see him. Big thing with, I put in a couple of notes, but on the shared components, we will be merging the ACAPI branch for shared components into Maine, and people will be able to enable the use of the ASCAR wallet as part in just using ACAPI. That'll be put in with a few caveats around it, but that will allow that. And it's got, it really, you know, as noted, it removes the dependency on Indie SDK, but also adds a bunch of key handling and key support in the wallet for other, in ASCAR for some of the other key types and things we're supporting in AIP2. So that's making progress. Aries Cloud Agent Python, we're still have not released our CO1. We've got two fixes. The one that the Aries agent test harness found, plus the diff PE is oh so close to being ready, and that Aries ASCAR branch merging into Maine. Those are the things we're waiting on. Once we have that, 070 release candidate 01 will be tagged. That's the updates for all of those things.
Awesome. Very cool. Aries Framework Go.
Yeah, I think Steven probably covered the most interesting update for Go. So we're working on the ACAPI interop and integrating to the test harness. So I think that's basically my standard update lately.
Awesome. Thank you. Aries Agent React Native.
Just have finished our call. We've been able to update to React Native 0.64.1, which is a problem that's plagued us for quite a while, so it's quite exciting. Had some contributions for adding iOS support for presentations, and some good discussions today, specifically trying to start to utilize the Aries shared components and how we're going to approach that. So some really good work.
Awesome. Aries Framework JavaScript.
No big releases, but we added a lot of small things over the last week, I think, to make it easier to use the framework. Still a lot of work going on with mediation, which is making good progress, which I think will be finished soon.
Okay. Aries Cloud Agent Pico. Bruce, I saw you were here.
Nothing to report this week. Thank you, Sam.
Okay. Any other projects? Awesome. I appreciate everyone's work, all the effort they put into coordinating and making this happen. It's doing a lot for the community. On the agenda today, I had two topics. One is the last with 4 exclamation points effort to clean up the remaining AIP2 stuff. And then I wanted to briefly cover the wacky PEX Aries stuff. In particular, I wanted to ask a couple of questions about some stuff that I've kind of roughly proposed, just to see if I'm doing stuff wrong, or if there's likely if I'm injecting stumbling blocks into the process by doing it the way that I am. But those are the two items that I want to talk about today. Are there other topics that we ought to be spending our time on? All right, what should we do first? Do we think we could, do we think this is the last day and we can make everything happen? Let's dive into the AIP2 stuff. RFC 510, this is PR 562. Troy, I saw some commentary from you on here and some stuff that had happened in between last week's meetings and this week's meeting. Do you have any updates on that?
George is actually on the call.
Oh, George is on the call. Welcome, George. Any commentary on the state of the PR?
There are a couple of comments from Troy that are needed to address. Well, at least, So Troy, the question about the nonce, I think we should just defer that to a follow up PR if that ever changes. And is there anything else that we're missing from this PR?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things. Like, it'd be good to hear from both you and Timo if you think this is kind of done-ish. From the other comments I left, I think there's just a clarification point that might not have been entirely clear to a reader who didn't also read Presentation Exchange. This one kind of being an important one, like proof type is actually an array. So it's not like the verifier saying, I only accept 25519 signatures. They can have an array that says I accept, Edwards curve or BVS signatures. So it's just, you have to know Presentation Exchange to know that's an array. I think the other one that kind of came up for me was, and I don't know how many others have this, it might be nice to have a note somewhere that, some deployments use P curves, meaning the JSON web key signature suite. So I don't know how you guys best want to approach it, but I think it'd at least be nice to have a note there so people are aware that there is that third type going on. I think I had a third comment. Maybe you want to just scroll and see if I wrote something else.
I think just
okay. That's two. And was there anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay, George, did I have something else that I mentioned? I'm trying to remember back.
So I opened an issue to asking if we can extend the options object by making it a JSON-LD object. I was hoping we could address the P curves stuff with that.
Okay, so I think we have that follow up then. And then I was really hoping there'd be a comment on nonce from Kyle or Tobias, but I don't think they did. Did you see any comments from them, George?
Nope.
Yeah. So the question that's in there for everybody else is, is there any expectation that a verifier should pass the nonce in to BBS? Or, is it just basically always okay for the holder to generate it? I don't think we got a reply to that question.
I also don't know the answer.
Yeah. So I think that's the outstanding questions that I know.
Those also strike me as things that could be clarified.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Right. Meaning, should we accept this PR, that those things can be added as clarifications later after the answer becomes more obvious?
Yeah, just a note, it just depends on how we define clarification. So as an example, I think this PR does not currently have a nonce option from the verifier. So if verifiers should send nonces, we'd have to add that option.
That's part of the Presentation Exchange format, isn't it?
Yeah, so the reason I initially brought it up is because in the Presentation Exchange spec, they mentioned that in the presentation request, a nonce value may be required. I don't know what that means, but it's possible through the Presentation Exchange format to provide it that the verifier provides it.
Yeah, so just so everybody's aware that there's basically a challenge field in presentations and a specific nonce property in BDS. The nonce property is actually part of the credential derivation, and the challenge property is for the presentation side, right? So there are basically two different levels, something that goes into the presentation signature, which is the challenge. And then there's the nonce that goes into the drive verifiable credential when you're talking about BDS. And yeah, it's perfectly fine, of course, to have a challenge for the presentation. It was kind of a question about the nonce that goes into the BDS derivation itself. In that, should a verifier be sending that, or should the holder be generating it? It probably doesn't hurt to have an option for it anyways. I'm just saying it's just not currently in this PR, so that's something important that should be added.
But that's a detail of how of presentation exchange, right?
It's a detail of the BBS.
BBS Plus needs out of the presentation exchange.
BBS Plus needs the software to supply a nonce for the derivation, which can either just come from the older software, in which case the presentation exchange isn't really involved, or it can come from the verifier, in which case, yeah, you need to pull it out of the presentation exchange.
Right. Either way, that's because this is an application of the presentation exchange format, I think that falls in the acceptable clarifications as it becomes, you know, as we determine the details of that.
Yeah, like from my point of view, I'm definitely okay with that. Like I said in the last meeting, I do think because some of these are kind of being implemented and interrupted on the first time, I know we're doing AIP 2. I do think we'll end up with some, calm clarifications or results of first implementation interop testing that we'll have to do some updates to. And if we just decide the process now, that would probably be for the best, right?
Right.
That so these ones that this will happen.
So our process already allows for clarifications. Like if there's something ambiguous and we have to make it unambiguous, then we could do that without really going through a whole AIP process. Should it be something that we feel like is precisely defined, but incorrect for some reasons for particular features we want in the future, then that would be more of like an AIP 2.1 kind of a process. And so until those actually show up, it's a little hard to tell exactly which one's going to happen. I suspect that most of the things that we find are going to be clarification Revit variety as opposed to revving the AIP version. And so we already have some of that process present. So given that, we already have one issue open here. As George mentioned, and there's also stuff here. I'm tempted, including this as a note, I think would also be a clarification. I'm super tempted to just merge this, and then those things can come in as clarifications if we need. Any thoughts on that? Stephen, I'm looking your direction slightly.
Yep. I was not great on the subtleties of the discussions just had because I don't know enough about it, but I think that works for me. And I agree with you on the, clarifications. And if we get to that hard point where we have to decide, then we decide as a community.
Right.
Okay. One thing to add is I did have asked Shan Jot from our team who had built the Aries Cloud Agent implementation of this, and he was comfortable with it, didn't see anything that was incorrect based on his knowledge of PE and his implementation. Like he made a couple of tweaks in his implementation to align with this, but didn't find any problems the other way.
Okay. So here's my question. Are there folks that are opposed to merging this as it stands now? I know, Timo, you mentioned that you were going to be looking at the changes that he submitted since the last call, which show up here. Any comments, any questions? So is anyone opposed to this merge? Go ahead, Timo.
I missed the update from George, so I haven't looked at the latest version yet. So
we might be able to give you a few during the call and then come back to it.
Yeah, I'll do.
While we have that conversation, Stephen, I don't remember the last time we actually sort of had a ratifying vote on the AIP, AIP 1. What's that process? Do we need to notify on the mailing list, et cetera, that we actually have that official vote next week? Or how did we flow that last time? I don't remember.
The last time we did it in person in Utah. So,
okay, everyone book flights. We're going to, just kidding.
So I think that's a good idea. I mean, I think we just hold a notification, send a message out to the mailing list, say at this point it's done. So the two things that I want to do as the very last thing, which is I want to update the commits to be the very latest so that everything is the latest. That should not affect anything, but it just means that, you know, they're all on the same commit for now. That's one. And then the second thing, I looked at how to do a diff between the old and the new for the updates one, and I found a way to do it. It's kind of weird, but basically using a gist to be able to show the differences. So I'm going to do that as well. Okay. Those are both follow-ups. We basically have to just say, can we change the status of this to accept it? And then we put that in.
Okay. So thank you for clarifying. My goal then, and I saw some comments notifying that like a week was good. My goal then by the end of our discussion here today is to send that announcement out and schedule that for next week so that there are no large pending issues. Clarifications are acceptable midweek. But that way we actually get to the point where we think it's there and we can actually kind of have that for a vote. Daniel, I saw you unmuted. Did you have a comment?
No, it's just a reflex action. I just talk too much. Sorry.
Perfect. Okay. So given the conversation we just had with clarifications being acceptable and everything and everyone else, I'm going to come back in a minute after Timo has a minute to.
Sam, there's actually a couple more PRs.
No, they totally are. So I thought we'd go through those and then come back to this one in a second to see if we have any other comments.
Okay. I thought you would just have a moment of silence and then come back to it. So, okay, good.
No, there's no time for silence. Okay, we're going to head on to these other ones. These ones are tagged with AIP2, which is why we're pulling them up. This one is the submitted by Mr. Curran here and has a comment from Kyle. Commentary on this, Stephen?
So this is the one where we, in reviewing the attachments one, I found these links, all of which put extra pressure on agent code to support all sorts of different styles of links, and to not basically discourage them, which is what I was more worried about. So we changed it per the discussion last week to just HTTP, HTTPS is the only thing supported in links today. Anyone who wants to could request a PR to adjust that list and add additional ones. And anyone who in a private ecosystem wants to support other ones, they're welcome to do that as well. It's just we wouldn't have the community involved in supporting other attachment URI types. So that's what the change was. I think we discussed it enough last week. This is just the manifestation of that conversation.
So specifically, you could be compliant with this RFC without implementing any other format besides just HTTP and HTTPS.
Yeah, those examples, in fact, are all removed, as you can see from the red.
Yes. And then yep. you've got the additional commentary here, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Any comments on this RFC?
It was always the intention when I wrote that section for those to just be illustrating what was possible. I was never intending to require that people had to support all these different things. So I think that's changes in the spirit of what was originally intended. I might, though, submit a PR right after the AIP is solidified to put the examples back in, because I, or at least maybe some of them, because I'd like people to know that other things are possible, just not implemented.
I think pulling them in with a tiny bit of commentary, right? Saying, hey, here's the future possibilities that might, you know, work, you know, follow the process to add these, should you want to formalize them, would be a good idea. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then it would be in spirit of the giving them examples, but also not confuse people about what's required. So yeah. I like that. And I'm totally okay with that. I think that's good. Any other commentary on this RFC or anyone opposed to merging this PR is the question. I think we're good to do it. I'm going to do it here. I'd normally ask Stephen to do it, except he's the one that made the thing. So
exactly.
I will go ahead and so do
there's
that.
Another one that I just added that's at the top. Somebody published this on the as an issue today, and they are correct. So we had prefix with the prefix of ED01, and in fact it should be 0xED. And so I also referenced the multi codec table where you can find it to show that that is correct. And I would point out that this is actually just a clarification, because there's a line below this that says, regardless of what that says, you really need to look at the DID key spec to follow it correctly.
Right. So I was just going to make a quick clarification for everybody. So the multi-codec table is the pre-encoded version, not the post-encoded version. So that's not actually what shows up.
Okay.
I think, Troy, let me try to interpret that. What you're saying is there is a byte that's here, and so the byte value will be 0xED, but you're not going to see the letters E and D on the front of the prefix, right?
Yeah, so what I was going to get at is multi-codec, that's the input to uvarint algorithm. So it's actually uvarint, whatever in the multi-codec table is the actual prefix.
Is a further change needed? That's what it comes down to. Or is this okay?
I didn't read the rest of the text, but I mean, if you look at did key, the prefix actually ends up being like in like z, whatever, z, x, something, right?
That's the multi-phase part. That's here.
So this is just the multi-codec step.
Yeah. Just be careful that it's you don't actually put what's in that table in. You do put it through uvarint first. Yeah. So not the Z part. That's the base 58. But the next part of the prefix, you actually have to encode with uvarint. So this was like a common actually a mistake that happened in the did key spec examples that got updated.
Okay, clarification no matter what, because the next line says this is only for illustrative purposes. So DigKey is the answer. So yeah, let's just take a look at what that must. I can probably change this if needed on the fly.
Well, we know that Troy is saying is the result, because if you look right above the bulleted list, it says this input becomes this output. You see the Z there at the beginning. The next two characters are not ED. That's the variant transformation of ED.
Yeah.
So anybody who's trying to really follow the example and test whether they did it right will either discover they did it wrong, or they'll do it the way that they're supposed to.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find the there was a nice discussion in the DigKey repo about this. I'm just trying to find it back. I'll post it.
Yeah, we're using exactly the same example as in DigKey.
That was on purpose. I'm happy with this clarification as it is. I think it is more accurate than it used to be. I still think we're fine as this comes. If we discover that there's some confusion, then we can make that happen.
Yeah. Yep. And again, it's all clarification. So I'd say merge. And
is anyone opposed to merging this?
Yeah, it's okay. It's just like, I'll send you the, I'll put this again. So ED25519 is a special case for UVARIN. So that one just happens to work out to being the same input and output. if you see the rest of the examples in there, it'll be very confusing if it's just per multi-codec table. So anyways, you just take a look at the issue and you'll understand what's happening.
Well, all right. Okay. I don't intend to do that. I've got a lot going on, Troy. I think if you are unsatisfied with the description here, I think we probably need a PR from you to help clarify. Realistically, folks are going to be using a library to do this anyway, in most cases, I believe. And so this does clarify, but I don't know that this is really going to represent a significant stumbling block for anyone that's coming along.
Yeah, it's okay. I can like add the three words, which is basically you have to do uvar and transform on top of what's on the multi-codec table. That's really all I'm trying to say.
That was way more than three words.
Sorry, I can't count.
Okay, so is anyone opposed to us merging this? I'm totally happy to have more clarifications added here, and that will not be a problem for our process. Okay, I'm going to review and merge. I'm going to see if it'll just magically update. Okay, and Troy, while we're talking, you you mentioned 660 ought to be tagged as well. Was that this one?
That was already merged in DigCom messaging, of course. So this is the one here.
Right. So Troy has submitted an update. This changes from the draft 03 to draft 04. This is again to the encryption envelope V2 in preparation for DidCom, and just updated the appropriate.
Oops, I messed up the URL. I'll just quickly fix that.
Okay.
I exchanged tools to data track from there. So give me a minute.
Okay. I didn't know if that was on purpose or not. Okay. Okay. He's working on that one, and I was going to try and tag this while I was in here to make sure it got done. Timo, have you had a chance to walk through the 5.10 updates?
Yeah, mostly. I have one question. Maybe if you can go to the changes,
mm-hmm.
and then to the part where it defines BBS BLS signature 2020.
Not there.
Yeah, I think a bit up.
Right here?
Yeah. So it defines BBS BLS signature 2020. Is that just for the verifiable presentation? Think about it now. We say link data proof VP. Shouldn't we also include then as a link data proof VC the signature proof? Or because in the presentation example, both a BBS signature and a signature proof are included.
Not sure how to express that with the presentation exchange language. But what I'm thinking is what currently right now we're only supporting in this RFC, we're supporting two proof types, right? So BBS signature 2020 and ED25519. So if the way the holder can determine which one or like which proofs are needed on credentials is if the limit disclosure property in the presentation exchange request is required, is activated as required or set to required. I'm not sure if it's even possible to express it with the like some kind of JSON path gymnastics that, you know, that presentation exchange uses.
But maybe how I interpreted it, but maybe it's like the LDVP can be an array in which you say, for example, the BBS signature 2020, and then in the separate linked data proof VC, you specify that you support derived credentials, for example, or is that not how you should use it? Like how I would interpret it is that as a verifier, you don't support the derived proofs if you take it very literally.
Yeah, I don't follow you. I guess we're probably gonna have to follow up with the chat or something. I didn't actually quite follow you.
Okay. I'll put a comment on the RFC, on the PR. Okay.
Well, is it likely to be a clarification or is it likely to be a substantive change?
No, I think how it should work is the same. It's just how it's declared or how the exact JSON should look like.
Because there's a process difference here. If this is a clarification, we could submit it as a new PR with relatively minimal issues. I'm inclined to try and do that and open up a new PR. That way the scope of the discussion next time is much, much smaller.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
You're fine with that? Okay, so now comes the question. Is anyone opposed to merging this PR now? Recognizing that there's a likely pending clarification coming along. How much of a Nathan am I waiting here? I don't hear anything. If you want to speak up about this, now's your chance. Oh. Dang it. Hey, George, can you go update this to the base branch? We had a couple other merges that I think threw that in there.
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. So given that, we're going to give George a minute to do that. And while we do that, we're going to go visit 660, which has been updated to, you fixed the text there, right, George? That's the change he did.
Yeah, try here.
I fixed the
base path in the URL.
Excellent. Anyone opposed to merging this update? Appreciate the update of the details. These things are sometimes annoying to chase down, but they're incredibly important to get right.
I just updated that. Oh.
Did I just screw it up again?
Do I need to update again?
We'll see.
Hang on. Can you check?
I will check. And I don't think I
refer. Right. There you go. Okay. Just.
George, I'm sorry. I should have just sat on my hand for a minute.
Hold on. Just stay right there.
Sam, you can do your review. Sam, you can do your review.
There you go.
I can do my review.
There you go.
Okay. And like sabotaging the process here. Why is it mad at me? There we go. Hey, merge pull request. Excellent. George, thank you for both your patience and your work on this RFC, as well as Timo pulling that together. That's fantastic. Okay, the only remaining PR we have tagged as AIP2 is the main one. Are there any other PRs that should be but aren't? I'll look at issues in just a sec. Yes. Okay, this one right here is tagged as 510, and I believe this one is resolved because of what we just merged. Is that everyone's understanding?
Yep. And new ones could be opened.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to close that particular issue.
And that nonce thing might be hard without Kyle or Tobias commenting.
Okay, remove some of the links from the attachments RFC. This just got done.
Yeah.
We have this one open 2 days ago. This, George, is the one that you brought up about using options in order to solve that other particular case. Is this one of the discussions you plan to have this week in advance of the discussion next week? I guess that's to George and Timo.
It's not, I don't think it's related to what, to the question that was just raised in this call.
Is this a different
issue? Or is it, Timo?
I thought it was one of them, not both of them.
So this is like this for me, for us, this is more related to our use of P curves.
I don't know exactly what it was, but.
Yeah, no, this is not related to the thing I just talked about.
Okay, then I think it was Troy. It was one of your comments that related here. The fact that the
options can be my comment was basically, we've defined BDS and Edwards curve in the other PR we just merged, but we have not specified how to do P curves. And this topic is about that.
Right. And that would be a clarification that we'd add.
Yeah, so the idea is to make that options thing extendable. And once we make it extendable, not sure if, I guess we could follow up with a different RFC or maybe amend the existing JSON-LD RFC, like, and make an optional JSON-LD type that can, with which you can request the P curves using JSON Web Signature 2020, which is a more involved affair than with the existing crypto suites, for which the algorithms and the key pair are paired one to one. Does that, I probably did not make any sense. But anyway, yeah, this is just to make it the options object extendable such that we can use the P curves with JSON Web Signature 2020 for the JSON LD credentials attachment format.
So the question,
so this is still a pending topic and should be relatively easy to discuss through. We should have some sort of either a new RFC or an update to the JSON LD RFC by next call, I would say.
Okay, because I think this is one of the only open things that's tagged anyway that we would need to have resolved before our next call. So
one question though. So Timo and Steven, are you guys interested in the use of P curves for JSON LD credentials? Just so I know, if we need to coordinate the specifics of that, that options object, new JSON LD object with you guys.
I would say bring Andrew into the conversation. He has been adding support for P curves into all our stuff. Yeah, Andrew Whitehead.
Okay.
Okay, so you're going to have that conversation this week so that we can have a proposed addition or other plan ready for next week, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Are there other issues that should be tagged as AIP2 that are not?
It's good. Yeah, you had to mention it, Troy, and I had to see it there.
Hey, we already wrote the way it can work, so just fair comment. That the discussion's still going on.
Yes, so for context, there's a discussion in DIDCOM 2 about whether we are, in the encryption layer, going to be used keys by value or keys by ID, basically by reference. Surely the by val or by ref short in the programming community. But that's the question he's talking about. And it relates specifically to the RFC that preps for, you know, with the DIDCOM V2 style envelope, just to align it as close as possible. That is part of that question. So, well, I'm going to mark this as, Baha, you're saying this is an AIP2?
That's right. It's to get the examples in 587 to match AIP2.
Okay.
But since now we have the draft 4 of the 1PU draft, revision 4, so that means we need to update our envelope to match it.
However, those are all examples, so they're clarifications.
Yes.
Troy, he said that.
Yes, these are examples, but when we move them to 587, they should be like test vectors.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, but there's still clarifications.
Right. Yeah. And we need to update 334 to explain the difference between what we had before draft 4 and the updates that needs to be done in draft 4. So 334, RFC 334 needs to be updated as well. But I'll do that later.
Okay.
I don't have an issue for that yet.
Okay. On the kid skid discussion, there's a weird dependency between the prep for AIP2 here and the sub-target that is related to DIDCOM V2 prep and the current conversations going over on DIDCOM V2. They're both written, I believe, Troy, now, so that it's written to use the key ID and not key by value. Do I understand that correctly? Yeah. So What that means is that if that resolves in the ID fashion, then there's no updates actually needed. If it didn't, then we've basically got sort of it's not exactly a clarification because it is a change, but from the position of AIP2, it might be a clarification simply because the dependent thing it linked to changed, which is a little bit of a squirrely corner case of how we're trying to do this. I would love to not hold AIP2 back for that issue and instead come back and fix it in the spirit of a clarification, but that's closer to the edge of not a clarification than all these other ones we've talked about. Examples, for example, are just a clarification. Any thoughts or comments about that? Are we getting into dangerous territory here, or is it going to be okay?
I think only the people who plan to be implementing this thing in the very near future, as opposed to in 3 months or whatever, get a vote on whether it impacts them. The rest of us, it's a theoretical violation of the ideal way of doing things, but I don't think it really matters. And if Troy's the first one to implement, I think he gets all the votes, you know?
It's us and Akapai.
Okay.
I believe who we're implementing. I don't know if anybody else is yet, but it'd be nice to know that actually.
And given Andrew's not here, I will proxy my vote to Troy.
So, I mean, the way it's written now, of course, does work, right? You can use a DID URI and you can resolve that DID URI to the key value, right? So it does work as written. There's discussion about the value of putting value. and it would definitely be nice to wrap that up, right? It'd be nice if we said, you know, we know this is a pending thing, and if you have to update it even after AIP2 goes out, because there's only a couple implementers, and if we're kind of okay with it, it'd be nice just to apply that patch. But you know, it's kind of this process question, I guess. Like, I think ideally we'd just be able to do that. So.
Well, the process has got to serve us. We don't need to serve the process. Given that it's narrow, my opinion is, given that it's so narrow in this particular thing, and Daniel points out that it's not going to be a next week issue for almost all of us, then I think that will be good. And the question really comes down to the people that are implementing. Do we want to do something that is closer, but not in fact that, you know, exact? Or do we want to collectively decide to update that, and then that will be the target? And I'm okay with that. And so given that, I'm inclined to say that it can just be considered as an update. Now, the meta comment that I have is that I believe Daniel Hardman and I have come to peace with keys by reference using key ID. The main remaining issue seems to be this discussion about the effect upon the Ethereum community, which is still ongoing and hopefully resolves on Monday. So could potentially actually resolve prior to the ratification of AIP2 in this group. That would be ideal. So yes. Any other commentary on this? Okay. So I'm going to leave this open, and it will be one that we acknowledge, I think, Troy, next week.
Sounds good.
I'm going to add the tag. Just because this is such a special case, weird issue, and it's kind of like a simultaneous topic, which is so helpful for, you know, trying to base something on top of a moving target, which I realize is the whole point of an AIP, but yes. Okay, so I believe that we have accomplished what we need to today. We have a few opening things. We have some pending clarifications, which are acceptable. We have a couple of discussions of things that we might want to nail in. This options is JSON-LD object. If we could get it in, seems like a nice thing to lock in simply because it would actually be a more substantive change than just a clarification in that particular narrow use case of P-curves. And then we'd be able to move on with that. So I believe, someone please correct me if I'm wrong, that we are ready to announce a vote next week for this and for the ratification of this and make that happen next week. Does anyone think that's not a good idea or not going to happen?
Great idea, Sam.
Okay. We will do that then and put an announcement out. Who should do that, Stephen? Is that me or is that you?
I'm happy to do that.
Stephen's happy. We'll let Stephen do it. Excellent. So this has been a long time coming. We've ironed out a lot of things. This has been a really useful conversation, and I'm hoping that next week goes swimmingly because that will be a useful thing to have fixed. Our next topic is the Wacky Pex Aries contribution discussion. I briefly summarized it, and since last week, a couple things have happened. Stephen wrote a Aries 2 based similar flow that is here that follows the same outline as the original Wacky proposal, but puts it together in the sense of how DIDCOM would actually do this. Now, this is written from an AIP 2 perspective, so it's based on DIDCOM V1, which means that, and this is presented in a connectionless manner. The side effect of connectionless is that you can't really do back and forth very well. There's just sort of there's the QR code, and then there's the presentation that actually happens. And so the side effect of this is that you actually embed and attach the presentation exchange, the presentation request message, which contains a presentation exchange itself as an attachment, all in one message, which obviously exceeds the same encoded length for a QR code, which means that this would end up being used with a URL shortener in order to make this happen. There's examples in here and steps about what actually happens all the way through the process. This is not anything to do with Wacky Pex. It's just outlining sort of that narrow flow, but entirely from the AIP2 perspective. Did I represent that well, Stephen?
Yep. Yep.
So then the other thing that I have done is this is not done yet. So please be patient with my lack of having updated everything. For reference, Stephen, this is the same format that it was on Monday when I presented it. I haven't had a chance to get to it yet. What I did is I partially applied some DIDCOM V2 concepts to this in ways that enabled it to be a little bit simpler from a flow perspective. Here's the idea. We would simplify the, in the Wacky proposal, the QR code contains like a URL that kind of has a token in it. You do a GET request and you get a challenge token back. And then you prepare the presentation and send it. So what I've done is I simplified the invitation to not actually have an embedded presentation exchange, which goes a long way to making this a smaller QR code. And I've introduced a goal code that I sort of arbitrarily picked as Streamline VP. The idea is this would be a goal code that could be used by anyone who wanted to be involved in the Wacky Pex paved narrow path of interoperability. And so anyone in the Aries community that had an agent that scanned something, an invitation like this, could recognize this goal code and recognize the expected capabilities of the other party in the interaction. And so that goal code means you don't actually have to embed stuff to quite as deep in here. The other reason is that, and I realize this looks like DIDCOM V1 syntax, and it is because I haven't updated it yet. But we don't have to go to the connectionless thing because of the ability for DIDCOM V2 to have a zero round trip getting started message flow where you can continue to converse and everything's fine. So the idea here is that this is what's contained in the QR code. The client recognizes this, uses the service information here, which also hasn't been updated. And then they're going to make a request to the verifier. And the request, here's the thing that I'm looking for feedback on. The request looks like this. This is the proposed presentation message out of the present proof V2 protocol. It uses the parent thread ID of the message ID from the invitation. And this may be redundant, but also here's a goal code. So here's the idea here. If you look at the definition of the present proof message, the actual proposed credential is optional. So what I'm saying here is that from the message sent from the verifier to the prover, I'm saying, I propose that we do a presentation. And then I'm not saying anything about what that presentation ought to be. And then what happens then at the verifier is they can receive this, recognize either through the goal code or because the parent thread ID lines up with the one that was present in the invitation, they know the context of it. And they say, okay, you're proposing that we engage in a presentation. Great. Here's my presentation request, which is a full-featured presentation exchange format that includes all the necessary information to actually indicate what the presentation should be about, which fields, et cetera, and what formats. Conveniently, this also includes the challenge that that is part of the, you know, is retrieved in the wacky proposal. And so this serves the same role, but also returns all the information about the presentation definition so that you can then engage in that exchange. So here's the thing that I did that I wanted to see how people felt about. I read this literally that you can propose a presentation without having an opinion about what you're proposing, which seems a little bit out of the examples anyway that are in the RFC, but should technically be allowed because of the optionality of sending what you, you know, an attachment of what you said you were going to propose. The convenient part about this is that it's very easy for a non-DIDCOM person to sort of understand what's going on here. And it uses an existing message flow or an existing defined message. So I'm not really inventing anything new here. And it gets the process kickstarted in the right way. So any feedback on this approach that I'm kind of proposing of a gutless proposed presentation message? Daniel, I'm kind of curious what you think about this.
Well, it sounds like we're doing something a little bit odd, but not crazy odd. Given what we're getting out of it, maybe it's reasonable. I guess I don't have a strong opinion. I'm happy to do whatever everybody else either likes or doesn't like about this one.
I guess I had never imagined prior to this proposing a presentation, but then not actually proposing anything.
Right? Hey, how about I prove something to you? What I'm going to prove is completely off the table. I'm not going to say anything about what.
That's exactly what this message indicates, right?
I actually think that's a more realistic use case than saying, hey, let me prove something to you. And here's all the details of what I'm going to prove to you. Now go ask me. I think actually this is more realistic. I've always wondered about that.
I think there's definitely realistic cases for like, hey, well, how about I propose this to you? Or present this to you, I think is reasonable in a rich interaction. But I also think this is actually fairly reasonable to be saying like, hey, I'm willing to present something to you and I don't have an opinion about what it is. So it is a little weird.
If you think about it, like what if you as a human being walk up to a place where you can tell somebody's waiting to check your COVID status, you know that they're going to ask you some question about COVID, but you don't know exactly what their criteria are. And I think that kind of maps onto this, right? Yeah, you walk up and say, hey, I'll prove something. Just ask me what you want to know.
Right. Yes. So I don't feel like this is a violation of core principles, but it certainly feels like something outside of what my brain had considered possible with this message.
Well, I think also the previous message is also kind of outside the realm, but I think both of them kind of make sense.
But so Sam, my only comment here, I mean, Don't you think not having a goal code would be clearer since you have no idea what it's going to be? Or
well, except for that we're signaling for this sort of streamlined use case that, hey, I would like, you know, I'm proposing that I prove something to you of undetermined design in the streamlined style. Now, Stephen pointed out in another conversation that the receiving agent can simply know what goal code was used in the invitation by correlating the message ID in the invitation with the parent thread ID here.
Yeah.
So the end result of that is that, I think it is. And I think this is this, is that what you're saying, Keith?
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, this could be, you could be, I guess I'm wondering, how do we even know that you're scanning, if you scan a QR code, you may not know that if it's for, you know, accepting an issuance or kickstarting a verification. Is well, there a way that we can do both?
Well, we have a goal code.
Yeah.
The goal code should be a hint about what's going on. And sometimes we have a goal code alongside an attached message. And what I'm proposing is that you can state a goal without including the attached message. And when you think about it, normally you'd attach a message if the person who scanned the goal code, the prover in this case, needed some information to take the next step, except that they don't need information to take the next step because they're simply going to send this message. So the short answer here is that the party, the verifier that is receiving this message from the prover who scanned the QR code says, oh, look, this is the parent thread ID that matches the message ID in the invitation that you scanned. I know that I said streamlined VP as part of that goal, which means that I think it's enough information to get the party started. I think semantically the right information is being transmitted either in the QR code that is scanned or in this empty proposed presentation message.
I guess my question would be if when the invitation creator had a different goal code than the one that is passed, what's the proper behavior? I mean, what's...
Well, Stephen's point was don't pass the goal code. It's redundant. They just get to match the ID present in the invitation. And that way there
can't be... Yeah, that's what I was suggesting. Yeah.
In that way, there can't be a difference because I'm not passing one.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. That's what I was...
Yeah. So two people have brought that up. That's enough evidence that I should just make that happen. So it's done. So
I got to say, Sam, the fun stuff of that catching my eye allowed me to bypass the entire thing that you weren't attaching anything in the propose. So there you go.
I don't know exactly what you meant by that, but it sounds like you're positive about what we're doing.
It's a magician's misdirection trick, right?
Got it.
Look at something else instead of the real interesting thing.
So,
you ever heard of the hairy arm?
No.
Evidently, somebody did a portrait of Queen Victoria and put a hairy arm on her, and she was offended and immediately said, "Get that off," and didn't make any other comments about anything else, which is the misdirection that Daniel's talking about. So.
Oh,
it worked on me.
You give some, you it's like a give it, it's like an obvious change that someone can request and you can make and they can feel happy about it.
Exactly. Well,
it was not an intentional psychological trick, but I'll take it. So then what happens is any final comments about this approach? We've bantered about it a little bit. Is anyone upset about this? So I have a note here. Right? To kind of indicate that. So, okay. So then what happens is we get into a normal thing. The message you would get back that the verifier would send to the prover is a request presentation message according to the flow. And this is normal. Now, because of the original goal code being used, there would be some expected constraints on what you can ask them. And this is a narrow paved path limitation. They're likely to say, hey, it's got to be BBS plus and only use these particular features of the presentation definition, just as a narrow path type of let's try to make something work in a broad way. And so that would be known because of the goal code present initially. And that means that if you're a if you're like an Ares agent that speaks DIDCOM 2 in these protocols, you would just be able to do all the things, right? Like you could, if someone showed up not with this goal code, you can engage in them in more normal DIDCOM manner. If they show up with this goal code, you'd recognize that this was a narrow paved path, and you're just going to proceed down this one and avoid all of the features that are possible, but you are not confident the other party actually supports. So this is just within the keeping the narrow path in mind. This is just a request presentation, and then you know, of course, the prover gets user consent, does the math to prepare it, prepares the actual, and then sends a presentation message back, which contains the attached presentation information, and then they send it. Right. And what one of the things being proposed that out of scope here is the back and forth negotiation about what's actually going on. So that because it's just a simple protocol flow, the present proof has some things to do to say, no, that's like not what I meant. And you can kind of circle back around or whatever. And we're going to try and figure out the narrowest application of this protocol to make that actually occur. So the work in front of me is to keep going through this document. So that we can make this happen. But I was looking for any feedback from this community on that approach that I was taking.
To clarify, and that is particularly sad because of the message I'm going to send out at the end of this, this could not be done with AIP2 as you've proposed it, because there's no longer a service decorator and no way for the verifier to send a message back to the prover. Would that be correct?
Yes. So Troy asked, can we fix it? The big difference here is that the Wacky PEX effort doesn't really want to get into DIDCOM V1. They want to base it on a narrow application of DIDCOM V2. In the differences in the zero round trip abilities of DIDCOM V2 as opposed to the either connection or connectionless modes of DIDCOM V1 is what's providing that gap. So I actually don't think that's resolvable, and I kind of regret that. But on the other hand, I think that I think that trying to get the Wacky PEX community to do something DIDCOM V1 based is like not going to happen. And I don't think it's worth making the changes to AIP2 to make this happen in that manner. So there may be a really creative application of the Ares RFCs that prep for the DIDCOM V2 envelope that could enable this to happen. But there's a handful of other minor changes too, including the DIDCOM V2 flavor of out of band that doesn't work the same way with DIDCOM V1 because of those protocol differences. So I'm happy to be wrong about this if someone sees a better way, but I actually don't think it's really that resolvable.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of two options. One is we're adding a from to the DIDCOM, the DIDCOM message, which I believe, we've decided not to do, and then service decorator. Those are the two ways to do it. And service decorator, we don't want to do. That got pushed out of AIP2, and adding the from, I think, is problematic, I would think.
So Troy, I don't think we wait for AIP 3. I think Wacky PEX is its own interoperability profile. I think we can do that. That will happen there. And those of us that are maintaining software will end up with a bit of an awkward middle where we're supporting the narrow side of Wacky PEX in what it's doing, and AIP 2, which I believe we can do simultaneously because of the MIME type stuff that we've worked out. and make it happen. It's not that simple to do so. It's not trivial from the Aries side to support this, but the willingness of them to consider the use of DIDCOM, I think, is such a huge win that I think that, and I don't think it's going to work any other way. This isn't really my preferred way to do it from a instant interoperability perspective, but I do think it's the largest win we've got from a moving lots of disparate communities together, something that's a little bit more unified.
Yeah, I have this feeling that, we're gonna end up having to support both of these, AIP2 and whatever this new interop profile is. The more aligned it is, the better, at least for those who have to end up doing both things. It'd just be interesting when we actually start that discussion, I guess, here in the Aries side, right?
So yes, although we have talked about the ability to add a new sub-target to AIP2. It's possible, I don't kind of have the time this week, but it would be possible to compare kind of what we're proposing here with the envelope. I forget the which RFC is the DIDCOM V2 envelope style, the encryption envelope V2?
587.
It might be possible that if you do 587 and then you add support for these other protocols, but you'd actually have 587 plus another one that has a different internal message format, but that's capable of handling that. If you did that, I think that's what's really required. So I don't think it's a, start over, but it's certainly not something that can just be done instantly with AIP2.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So with a new RFC, you would be thinking of a new sub-target then, or like adding it to the prep target?
I would probably do a new target so that you could do prep if you wanted, or wacky pecs.
Okay. And then if it's a new target, the idea is we could maybe add a new target to AIP2 with that?
Yes. We've discussed the less harmful nature of adding a target to AIP2 than trying to change something, right? It's still optional, but it would serve the function the way that AIPs do to sort of lock specific versions of things in. So yes, these are kind of parallel efforts. I totally recognize that. It's a little unfortunate that AIP2 just doesn't automatically provide for all of this, but I also don't think it's a realistic community because AI, the Wacky PEX is doing a very narrow implementation of things, right? And if we had an AIP that actually supported all of this, we don't want to do the narrow thing. We want to do the broader thing because that's kind of the way we've been proceeding. And so I think it would be not helpful to change AIP2 into something that's compatible with this. I think that trying to work out what would be necessary is like a new RFC and an optional sub-target for AIP2 might be the right answer there. So these are simultaneous efforts, right? And simultaneous efforts always sort of have a little bit of mismatch. It's my goal, number one, to come up with something that is good and that community will accept. There's one of the members over there, like about had an aneurysm when he was reading Stevens, thinking that that's what I was proposing, not that this was the way it would currently work in AIP2. And when I started to show kind of what I was proposing, he calmed way the heck down and said, yeah, I think this will work. So that's kind of the example of the mismatch that we're trying to manage here. It's fun. I mean, fun in like a picking out porcupine quills sort of a way. But anyway, that's where I'm going. Any other comments, things you think might be useful? I am going to dive in and make more progress on it this week.
Yeah, I think I made that comment over there as well. And when you look at the Wacky initial spec, you do see the redirect concepts in there. So I think one of the follow-up discussions we should still sort out is dealing with kind of the redirect forms or purely web forms. I realize like that's more limited in maybe the Aries community, although we do web wallets. But I think as a broad concept, I think that is something good to address.
Yes, we'll have to do that. That was outside of the scope of what we had originally talked about. So you're right in bringing it up that this is something that we should try and address if we can. And it, we'll just have to kind of see how difficult that ends up being, I think. But yes, I think it would be a nice expansion or a nice one more loop to throw around some more community to draw in if we can pull that off.
Yeah, exactly. To show like I think the most interesting interop protocol for getting presentations will be one that can handle, you know, mobile, web to mobile and, you know, web to web, right? Like just here's the one way to do
it. It would. I'm nervous of derailing the mobile to mobile for the sake of the mobile to web or web to web or anything there. So I mean, I think that's what most folks are worried about. Not that it isn't a valuable target, but that even if we could pull off like broadly interoperable mobile to mobile, that would be a massive win. Not that this isn't important, but trying to carve off something that's fast and smaller for the sake of making that happen, I think was the goal. So
it's just, you know, where we have the discussion, but I definitely think when we're talking about a more broad version, I think that would be a nice achievement for us.
Totally. Full agree. Cool. Okay. We are about out of time. I appreciate everyone coming. I appreciate the feedback and all that stuff. If you're working on stuff for AIP2, that would be wonderful. Earlier, even before Wednesday, is better. And that way we can possibly get some of this stuff done and merged. Any small clarifications or examples, for example, will be really easy to bring in that way. And then we will message out and make sure everyone knows that we're talking about AIP2 next week. And then hopefully that is that's the thing that happens and then we have a new fixed target that we can work on. So awesome. I appreciate everyone for being here. The other good news that I want to bring up is that we'll have a little more time in the call for other topics that are not strictly AIP2 focused. If there is a topic that you would like to either lead or have, but don't feel like you can lead, please bring it up, message me, and we'll do our best to organize and support the types of conversations we need in the community to move the work forward in important ways. There's all sorts of interesting things that I think we could talk about. We could talk about compatibility of wallet import-export formats for mobile apps. We could talk about, there's all sorts of things. And so if you want to bring stuff up for the calls coming up, then please reach out, message me. I would love to hear from you, whether you feel like you can lead it or not. And we'll make that happen. Hope everyone has a great week. And thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. Have a good day.